This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
All right, today we're going to talk about liberty and freedom and independence. You know, we're celebrating this week, the 4th of July, so I think the message would be appropriate to talk about that, how God has blessed us with that type of a life here in our world, but even with liberty when it comes to serving the Lord and being a Christian today, we never need to take for granted the freedom that God has given us, the liberty that we have today. So my message is entitled today, Called Unto Liberty. Called Unto Liberty. And I want you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 15, hopefully. Called Unto Liberty. I'm really thankful today that God has called us unto liberty. We don't have to be bound today. You know, we can be free today, and that's so important, because before you knew Christ, you were bound. Before you became a Christian, you were bound in different areas in your life. But when you came to know Christ, He began to free you and to deliver you of all those things that used to bind you. So we're blessed today to know that we've been called unto liberty. Let me read you a couple things that I looked up in the definition about what this means, okay? First of all, Independence Day. What is Independence Day? Well, it's a holiday commemorating the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776. Okay, so it's been over 200 years that we have had this independence of being a nation. We are independent of other nations. We stand on our own. Okay, God has given us that liberty to be a nation and to walk in independence. Very important, because we have freedom and rights because of that. We also know that holiday as known as the 4th of July. Okay, now, what does the word independence mean? What does freedom mean? What does liberty mean today? Let me give you some definitions that come right out of the dictionary. Independence is the state or quality of being independent. It means freedom from subjection. It means or from the influence of others, being subjected to others. We are free from that. It means exemption from external control or support. Okay, so when we talk about independence, it again means that we're able to be independent. We have freedom. We're not subject to anybody in particular or any group. We're not under control of anybody. Okay, so we have independence. Yes, we have a government. We have rules. We have laws we have to follow, but that we need that. Otherwise, the world would be chaotic. Okay, at times it still is chaotic, even with laws and rules that we have. Freedom, the word for freedom, what does that mean? It means the state of being at liberty rather than in confinement or under physical restraint. Okay, so when we talk about freedom, it means really the same thing as independence. But it brings out even a little bit further that we have liberty and we're not confined or we're not physically restrained. Okay? No one, when you, the community you live in today, where you're from, you know, nobody makes you live there. How many know that? You have a free will to live where you want, to buy a house where you want, to rent where you want to rent. Okay? And on and on and on. Nobody has confined you to live where you live today. You have freedom to pick and choose, okay? That's what we're talking about when we talk about freedom. We have not been restrained, okay? How many know there's some areas in the world that are not like that? Okay? How many know Russia used to be confined at one time, but they're free now. Amen? They were under constrainment and confinement for many years, but now even Russia is free. Okay? The word liberty, what is the definition for that? Liberty means independence. See how these terms are, you can say the same thing for all three. Liberty means independence. It means freedom from external control. There it is again. Or interference, okay? Obligation, you're not obliged to do certain things. You have liberty today. But the last one that it has here for liberty is freedom to choose, okay? That's a big one today. We have freedom to choose, okay? We have been given rights and freedoms in our country that we can be blessed with today. So we have independence, we have freedom, we have liberty. I shared all that with you so that now we can take that not only in the natural, in the physical that we live today, but we could take it also in the spiritual today, in the Word of God. So let's look at Galatians 5, 1 to 15. And here we're going to read an interesting set of phrases and verses, a passage that will bless you today as Paul had to deal with different things in the church. And sometimes these things come up. They've come up even in our church at times. They come up at different times about the liberties that we have, and we have to be careful that we don't go back to the way it used to be or to the way you thought it was or how you were taught or trained years ago. Sometimes those things are not good. But in Galatians 5, we're going to read about the liberty that God has given us. Amen. Let's read verse 1. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Hallelujah. Paul tells the church here at Galatia, you know what? You now need to stand fast in the liberty that Christ has given you. Interesting that he would say this, because these were Christians who had become free. But obviously there was a problem that, you know what? They were going back to the old ways of doing things. And Paul had to remind them, you know what? You need to stand fast in the liberty that now Jesus has given you. Because sometimes things will happen. There will be things that happen in church and in systems and societies that will try to change what we have been given, even spiritually. So Paul encourages them here, and he tells them to be strong and to stand fast in that liberty. And he, notice here he says, don't be entangled again with bondage. Okay? Don't be entangled with bondage again. You say, well, what kind of bondage were they in? Well, we're going to understand that as we read today. But I like the Amplified Bible here, what it says for verse 1. It says, "He completely liberated us. Stand fast then, and do not be hampered or held ensnared, and submit again to a yoke of slavery." Wow, that makes it even deeper here today. He's telling the church, don't become enslaved again, okay? Don't get under a yoke of bondage or slavery, because that's where they were at one time, okay? When I think of my life before and my life today, I used to feel enslaved before. When I didn't know Jesus, I didn't know the truth, you know, my life was, I was trapped, okay? I had no freedom. I didn't have understanding. I didn't know what my life was about. I needed God to give me revelation. So I was actually entrapped, like he's saying here. I was in bondage and didn't even know it at times. How many can relate to that today before you came to know Christ, okay? So Paul is making a point here that now Jesus has given us a liberty and a freedom, and we must stand fast in it, okay? We're able now to serve the Lord and not have to serve the law of man. That's what he's really beginning to say here. We must be careful that man doesn't entrap us, because man will try to do that. You can't do this, you can't do that. Sometimes, even in church, you sometimes feel like saying, well, what can I do then? Well, That's, if you've noticed, I don't entrap anybody here. Amen? I want you to be free here. If anything, I believe God has sent us here to bring you into a higher freedom in the Lord, if you're willing to receive it. Amen. No amens there. Okay. Let me go further here. All right. So this is what we're seeing here, that we need to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to go back to sometimes things that will enslave us, is what he's saying here to the church. And what they were going through was that they had ceremonialism. Okay? The Jewish people did things in ceremonies and traditions, and as part of Judaism, they followed rules and laws, and they followed things to the T. And you know what? When Jesus came, Jesus delivered them from many of those rituals. Amen. Many of those traditional things that, you know what, now Christ did away with. Okay? I'm not saying the law that we have in the Old Testament is not good. I'm not saying that. But the Jewish people had ceremonialism. And Paul was trying to tell them is that, you know what, Jesus has set you free from a lot of those things. So don't get trapped again. Amen? Don't get enslaved again in those things that you have to do this and this and this, and you can't do that and that and that. I've told you this before. In the Old Testament, in the law, there was 2,800 laws that they had to follow. Can you imagine that? 2,800 laws that you had to follow. I think you might feel enslaved today. Amen? You might feel a little bit trapped if you had to follow every single law to the T. I'm thankful today. I've been set free from that. Amen? How about you? That's what Paul's telling the church here. He's saying, you know what? You need to stand fast in this new liberty that Christ has brought to you. Don't go back and get enslaved again. Don't let bondage come upon you again. Oh, my God. This is important. It relates to us even today. Okay? People sometimes will bring bondage on you if you let them. Amen? People will bring bondage, even in the church. I hate to say it. It happens. You know what? People come to me. I've had people come to me in the last couple months as we've gone through little different things. Pastor Rich, I'll stay, but you know what? You can't do this in the church. I thought I was the pastor. Amen? I thought I was the one that was supposed to hear from God and let His Word teach us and bring us truth here. Amen? But sometimes people will do that. People will say, you know what? Pastor Rich, I want to be here, but I just have a problem with this. Let me say something to you, church, today. I believe what we've been teaching you for the last year is the Word of God. And I'm going to continue to teach the Word of God. I will not compromise the Word of God. Can I get an amen? If it means people have to leave because I'm preaching something you don't feel comfortable with, I'm sorry. Because I have a responsibility to God first. Amen? I should have got some amens here. My responsibility, I'm accountable to God first. And if I can't follow the Word of God to the best that I can and show you how to do it, then maybe I'm not supposed to be here. Amen? We have to be careful, you know, that we don't become judges. Amen? And become critical. I mean, I walked in today, I got another letter. I said, oh Lord, I make a little fun about it. I even told someone about it. Me and Carlos were talking in the back. He said, it's like we're becoming a post office here. I've been getting these letters. I mean, what's going on? You know? We don't need letters to tell me you're not agreeing with this, and you don't agree with this, and unless you change this, I won't come here. My Lord, we need to be praying more instead of judging more. Amen? And being critical more. We don't want to be in a box here, church. Amen? We want to be free here. Can I get an amen? And I'm trying to teach you that. Amen. You got to be open to it. And this is what was happening here in this chapter. People, the Jewish people who were getting saved and filled and free, all of a sudden, they were starting to go back to what they were taught before. You can't do this and you can't do that. And Paul had to bring a stop to it and say, you know what? don't let this happen to you. You've been set free by Jesus. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. This is important here. Let me move on here. I'll never get through this. You know what that's called? Let me say this to you today. Legalistic churches. How many have ever known a church that was legalistic? Maybe you don't understand what I mean by that. Let me explain that a little bit. That means there's churches that I know that we've dealt with in the past. The ladies, they cannot wear pants in the church. You cannot wear jewelry in the church. All right? You can't do this. You can't do that. Women are not allowed on the pulpit. Hello. That's what I'm talking about. Legalistic. We make so many rules and regulations. We can't do this. We can't do that. But we were supposed to be free in church. Amen? I mean, this is supposed to be a place we welcome people. But we got to be careful that we don't get so legalistic. Amen? We'll never be like that way here. As long as I'm here. Amen? I mean, when you come here, I want you to be free. I want you to be able to raise your hands and praise the Lord. Amen? If you feel like dancing before the Lord, you're not dancing to people. You can be free to dance for the Lord. Amen? It's scriptural. Praise God. Hallelujah. We don't want to get like that, church. We don't want to get bound, okay? We don't want to be that way. We can't, all right? Otherwise, people will want to come here. Amen? This place has to be a place that they want to come because we're free here. Oh, hallelujah. I wouldn't want to go to a church that I can't do this, I can't do that. I would say, what can I do? Stay like this? No, God has set us free today. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. You're too quiet for me today. Praise God. The message will be longer unless I get some amens. Okay, here we go. Praise God. Verse 2, it says, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." Verse 3, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law." Paul's now saying to the Jewish people, he's saying, you know what? You're going back to the old rules and regulations that you now have to be circumcised. Okay? That's what they used to do in the law. They used to be circumcised, their flesh, all right? That was part of their ceremonialism. Paul's saying, you're going back to that because you know what they were saying? Unless you're circumcised, you won't be saved. You see how they mixed it up, all right? And sometimes we can mix things up. We say, oh, I agree with this, but I don't agree with that. You got to do this or you can't do that. Well, what does the Bible say? Amen? So Paul had to get their attention and say, you know what? You're going back to the law and what Christ did for you. It's in vain now. Don't let that happen. Amen? He's saying Christ will profit you nothing if you go back to the law again. Oh, hallelujah. He's making them realize, you know what? You're backsliding. You're going back instead of coming forward. Let God free you. Be set free today. Amen. Walk in the freedom that Christ has given to you. Amen. If you don't allow Christ to bring you that, you profit nothing, he told the Jewish people here. Oh, what a mistake that would be if we would allow something like that to happen here. He's trying to make them understand. Who are you going to follow, the law, or are you going to follow Christ? And in the same way, we can relate to that, you know, because in the Old Testament, the law, if you followed the law, you were justified, right? But now, Paul is trying to teach them and show them, if you follow Christ, now you're justified by grace. Amen? Because, you know what, the law was good, but nobody could follow it. Amen? Everybody failed who tried to follow the law, even the priests, amen? Nobody made it. Nobody could do what God called us to do in the law. So God had a different plan. God had a new testament. He had a new covenant to bring us in. Not to say the Old Testament, we throw it out. We don't throw out the Old Testament. There's a lot that we still follow. It's just important and it's good. Without the old, we wouldn't have the new today. Amen? You realize that. But Jesus is making a point here. You know what? You're going back and if you go back to what you used to do, if you revert back to Judaism, you're throwing Christ out the window. Don't do that. Stand fast in the liberty that Jesus has given you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my God. It says, if you're going to follow circumcision, then you got to follow the whole law, he tells them in verse 3. And you can't do it. Okay? We're to be free from that. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Hallelujah. I'm thankful today. I'm justified by grace. Amen? Through faith. Okay? We're under a new covenant. We're under grace today. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 4. It says, "For Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." He says it again. All right? If we're going to go back to the old law, you know what? What Christ is supposed to be for you will be of no effect anymore, because you're looking to be justified by the law. So then you fall from grace today. I don't want to go back to the old. I want to walk in the new today. Amen? Don't you today? I want to walk in that grace that God's given to me. I need to walk in freedom today. Amen? I'm supposed to be free as a Christian, not bound up. Amen? The Jewish people were bound up, but Jesus came to give them freedom like he's given to us. They were going back. They were backsliding back to the old Judaism, and Paul was trying to make them realize, you know what? You need to wake up. Look what you're doing. Verse 5, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." See, it's through the Spirit today that we're blessed. It's through the Spirit that we have this hope of righteousness by our faith. Amen? They didn't have that in the Old Testament. They didn't have the faith. The faith to look to Jesus to be that Savior that we have today, okay? So he was saying to them, you know what? This is our hope now. This is how we're righteous, through our faith in Christ. Don't throw that out the window. You're going to be bound again. You're going to go back to your old ways and be lost again. This is our hope today, that we are righteous in God by our faith. Amen. Verse 6, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." You see what he's saying? It doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not. It has nothing to do with it anymore. But it's that we have faith in God, faith in Jesus, and we walk in that faith by love. Amen. Everything we must do is by love today. Praise God. The faith that we have, we must show it. We must release it. It must be evidenced by others through our love, okay? It'll be seen the way we live for God, the way we act for God. So he's saying it's faith which worketh by love. That's what it's all about today. The law was abolished. The law didn't work. It was time for change. So he's saying, you know what? This is how you're supposed to live your life today. Faith worketh by love. Verse 7, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Paul tells them, you know what? You were doing really well. You were running well. You were running this Christian race that you've been called to. You were doing so well. He says, but what happened? Who hindered you? Who hindered you? Who stopped you from obeying the truth? People will do that. Amen? People, systems, sometimes, unfortunately, churches will change your thinking, right? That's what was happening here. He's saying, you know, I'm commending you. You were doing really well, church. All of a sudden now something's happened. Why? Who stopped you? Who hindered you? Oh, Lord. I will never let any person or church stop me from serving God today. How about you? Amen? If I have to leave that church, then I'll leave. If they're stopping me from serving God, right? Oh, I should have got an amen there. Praise God. He says, who's hindered you? Who stopped you from obeying or heeding and following the truth? Who's doing that? Okay? I hate to say it. Some people are not here today because others have hindered them. All right? Are we following God or are we following people today? Amen? And I'm not saying that to put anybody down, but it's true. Okay? When someone leaves, you know what? That person usually affects somebody else, and others leave. And you know what? That's sad today, church. Amen? And when that happens, you know what? Those people who are causing others to leave, They have to give an account to God. Not to me. All right? Not to me. I don't make anybody come here or make anybody leave. Okay? I've been called here to pastor, and it's out of my control what people do. But you know what? If we are causing people to leave, woe to you today, because you have to give an account to God for that. And we don't realize that sometimes. Oh, if I go, you know, the church will be fine. Nobody will care. And then if you say evil things about the pastor or somebody else, you know, that affects people. Amen? If you're going to leave, leave quietly and go find a church that you feel comfortable. But don't you know, put a bad rap on the church you were at, because that hurts the ministry. Amen? It hurts people, you know. We don't like to hear that stuff. It's not good. So it was happening here. People were getting hindered, and they were getting changed to follow their old thinking. He's saying, don't let this happen. You were obeying the truth. Now you stopped obeying. Why are you going back to the old way? Don't let that happen. Amen? Don't let it happen, he says here. Will you follow people, or will you follow the truth from God's word? I made a decision 27 years ago. I'm going to follow the truth. Amen? I can't go wrong if I follow the truth. Right? Hallelujah. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and what? The truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. The truth will make you free, not the church. The truth. Not people will make you free. The truth will make you free today. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. I'm getting excited here. If you're not, I am. Praise God. That's the word. John 14:6 says it this way. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Jesus said, I'm the way. Hallelujah. I am the truth. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm the way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. He's the one. Okay? We lift up Jesus here. We're not lifting up any person here at Oriel. It's about Jesus here. Amen. This is His ministry. We're a part of it. Hallelujah. We want to see Jesus be brought to people here. Amen. We're not going back to the old ways. We're not going back to the old ceremonies and the old laws like they were doing here. Paul was saying, wake up. Don't go back. Go forward. Hallelujah. My God. We've been freed. Amen. We have life now. Jesus is the one we're supposed to follow. Amen. Verse 8. It says, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. What Paul says here, you know what? This evil persuasion that has come now all of a sudden, this is not from Jesus, it's from those people. They're trying to bring you back to the old ceremonialism. This is not what Jesus is teaching, he's saying here. Don't let this persuasion, this evil persuasion, affect you and call you out what God has called you into. Amen? You got to be strong, church. When things get rough and things happen, you got to be planted. Amen? You got to stand firm. That's what he's saying. Stand in the liberty that Christ has made you free today. Amen? Don't let people pull you and tell you what to do. Let God tell you what to do today. Amen? If you let God speak to you, you'll never go wrong. Okay? People will mislead you and guide you, misguide you sometimes. Amen? We don't need that. Paul's saying, don't let these false teachers, that's what they were dealing with here, false teachers come in and persuade you to go the other way. Don't do that. Verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Have you ever heard that verse before? Amen? Just a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Let me read it to you a little bit different. The Amplified Bible says it this way. Ooh, this is so good. It says, a slight inclination to error or a few false teachers perverts the whole congregation of faith and misleads the whole church. Ooh, I got to read that again. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Let me read it to you this way. A slight inclination, just a slight inclination to error, or a few false teachers perverts the whole congregation or the whole conception of faith and misleads the whole church. Just a little, right? Just a little leaven. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, right? We got to be so careful, amen? I mean, it hurts me, church, when I've had people recently come to me and say this and this and this. I'm thinking, Lord, am I losing it or something's wrong here? Amen? Okay, we gotta be careful. What are we speaking? Are we speaking the Word of God? Are we speaking what we want? Amen? Or what we're comfortable with today? Amen? Or what? Now I've said it all along. Are we not willing to change maybe some of the things that we were not taught before? Amen? I understand that. I understand it. I've been here a year now. Some things you have not been taught from previous pastors. I understand that now. But if it's the Word of God, it's scriptural, you should say, Pastor Rich, I want to hear it if it's the Word. Amen? Even though I didn't receive that before, I'm open. I want to learn more from what God has in His Word. Amen? If we have that kind of a spirit today, we will have no problems here. Amen? But if we get so caught up in what was the past, all right, what was tradition before, you're looking for trouble. You are, okay? I'm giving you God's honest truth today. That's what was happening here. They were looking at what used to be. It was calling them to go back, and Paul's saying, wake up, don't go back there. You've been free from that. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. This is powerful. This is what was happening in Galatia. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Freedom today. We're talking about being free. Verse 10. I have confidence in you through the Lord. This is what Paul's telling them. That you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Wow. So Paul's saying, you know what? I have confidence in you, church, that you know what is right, and that you're not going to allow this change to come back to you, that you're not going to go back to your old thinking. I believe in you. I know God has saved you and set you free. I know you're not going to go back to that wrong thinking. And those who are troubling you, you know what? They have a judgment upon them. Amen. That was a good place for amen. We must be responsible for what we do. We all have to stand before God one day. Not just the pastor. Amen. Not just those who are in ministry under the pastor. Every one of us, okay? For our what we do, what we say. We all are accountable. And he's saying to them here, you know what? Those who are troubling you, they're going to have to speak to God about it one day for what they're doing. If it's wrong, they have to account for it. Not you, they do. Hallelujah. I don't want to be in that place. Amen. I want to stand before God in confidence that I've done the right thing. Amen. Don't you today? Amen. Verse 11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. He's saying, why am I going through so much persecution then? If I'm supposed to preach about circumcision. But what he's saying is, you know what? I'm not. I'm preaching about the cross. And you know what? Sometimes people, the offense of the cross, they don't understand the cross today, people. They didn't back then. They had to get it through their mind. This is the salvation. It's going to come through Jesus, through the cross. He's saying, you know what? Why then am I still suffering persecution? It's because I'm preaching about the cross. And people want to go back to the old ceremonialism. They want to go back to getting circumcised. Instead of the outward circumcision, we need the circumcision of the heart today. Amen? That's what we need. We need our heart circumcised. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. My God. Paul went through much. But God used him. Amen? He didn't care that he was going to be persecuted. He knew Jesus was persecuted. He was going to get persecuted. We're going to get persecuted at times. Amen? Verse 12, he says, I would they were even cut off which trouble you. Oh, Paul's not playing games here, church. He says those who have been troubling you, who are trying to change your thinking and your mind, with evil persuasion. You know what he says? I would that they would be cut off from you. Meaning that they would be separated from you. That they would not be near you anymore. That they would be not part of what your group is. Amen? Sometimes you need to get cut off from people in certain things. Amen? We don't want that. But if you're hearing stuff that's poisoning your spirit, you need to cut off from it. Amen? If people are trying to lead you a wrong way, you need to get cut off from those people. Amen? That's the word. All right? Now, if they're doing good and they're encouraging you in the Lord and they're blessing you, by all means, you should be friends and you should have fellowship with those people. But if they're poisoning your spirit, like they were here, Paul says they need to be cut off from you. You got to make a decision who you're going to be with. Amen? Because people will affect us, good or evil. So we got to know who's around us today. Amen? He says, you know what? Those who unsettle and confuse you, this is the Amplified Bible, verse 12, those who unsettle and confuse you would even be cut off from you or be separated from you. It's a strong word here today, church. We got to guard our liberty today, amen? Man will try to steal your liberty if you let him, even in the church. Hello. Oh, no way, I'm not going to let the freedom that I've gained through Christ's death, I'm not going to let anybody steal that from me today. Amen? Because too much of a penalty was gone through, too much of a price Jesus paid for me and you so that we could be free, that I'm going to let somebody steal that from me today. How about you? Amen? No way. Okay? No way. It's not going to happen. Praise God. Verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. He says it again. He sums up now what he's saying here. You've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Hallelujah. What he says here, you know what? Remember, you've been called to liberty, but don't misuse this liberty now. Okay? What he's saying is, don't, because you're free, God has made you free, don't use that freedom now to do sin. Amen? To do works of the flesh. Don't go that way. God didn't make you free so that you could be a poor example to people of Jesus. Amen? That's what he's saying here. He says, don't take this liberty and use it as an occasion for your flesh. Oh, I'm free. Jesus made me free so I can go into the bars anytime I want. I'm free. I'm still saved. Hello. Oh, I can drink and I can party and I can, you know, carouse with women. I'm free. Jesus made me free. No, that's not what he's talking about here. Amen? Free in him, right? Free in what he did for us. Not free so you can do whatever this flesh wants. Amen. There's people that think they can do that. There's doctrine that's out there that says, you know what? If I sin, all I got to do is repent, and it's okay. And that's true, but people take that to the extreme. How many know what I'm talking about? I'll do whatever I want to do, then I'll come back and repent. They're not sincere. You follow what I'm saying, okay? It's not like that, all right? He's telling the people here, he's saying, be free, but watch your freedom. Don't misuse the freedom God has given you. Don't misuse the liberty God has given you. We got to be careful that we serve Christ with that freedom, not walking in sin again. Don't let the freedom be an incentive for you to the flesh to be able to sin and do things that are not good. Don't let it be an opportunity or an excuse for selfishness. All right? Because you're free today, it doesn't mean that you should just think about yourself only. That's what he's saying here. Don't be so free just to be focused on you. But he says, but through love you should serve one another. Amen. Through love, right? Through love. A lot of times people say, I love you, but man, their actions don't show it. One day, I love you, Pastor Rich. The next day, I'm gone. I mean, you begin to question who really loves, right? Love is a strong word. If you love somebody, boy, you're going to back it. what you say. Amen? And if you love someone, that means, you know what, you're going to try to work it out. Those are people I have respect for. When they, even if you don't agree about something, you still try to work it out because you really love, right? You want to make it work. But and I'm willing to do that, church. I've always said that. I'm willing to talk to you. If you don't understand something or agree on something, I'm willing to talk to you, but I will not compromise the word, though. We can't, all right? There's a point where some things, you know, I will not compromise because it's God's word, all right? There's a difference here today, and we need to understand that. So let's be careful here that we don't use our liberty in the wrong way. Verse 14, it says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Amen. You know, all the law, all the 2,800 laws that we talked about a little bit today, all the Ten Commandments, right? Everything is fulfilled in just right here. It says that we would love our neighbor as ourselves, right? Love God and then love our neighbor as ourselves. The law is fulfilled, okay? And Jesus brings that to us. He brings us the love because of what He did for us. We have this now for all of us. The whole law concerning human relationships is complied with this one precept. Love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. This is powerful. Verse 15, my last verse. "But if ye bite and devour one another..." These are some strong words, church. "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." Wow. Bite and devour. We got to be careful here. How do we do that? Well, when we allow strife, right? We allow strife to come in. We bite and devour with our words. It says, if we're not careful, it says that your whole fellowship will be consumed by one another. If we're biting and devouring one another with our words, instead of what? Loving one another, right? Coming here for the right purpose, for the right reasons. Amen. To love God, to serve God, and to work and serve one another. That's what it's about here. The people in Galatia here had to be reminded by Paul. You're free. Stay free. Amen. Walk in your freedom. Continually, steadfastly, be free in the Lord. Don't allow any system, any rules, or any people to break and confuse you and to change your mind and to lose the freedom that God has given to you through Christ today. Let's remember that this week. Amen. As we celebrate independence. Amen. You know, we have to, with the word independence, it means we're not dependent on anybody, right? But how many know we have to be careful with that, because we may not be dependent for all of our needs and everything on one another, but how many know today we must be dependent on God? And we could take that independence to the wrong extreme today. Amen? So even though God has given us freedom to be independent in many ways, we also must never forget that we must be dependent on Him. Amen? And sometimes on one another too, because we need each other. Amen? We need each other for this work to progress and go forth, and it will, church, if you hang in there. Amen. If you will be faithful to the call of God, if this is your church, you be a member here, be used in the ministry, God is faithful. This work will go forth. But if you give up, then what do we got left? Amen. I'm not giving up. It's 1 year today. Amen. It's 1 year. Praise God. It's been a good year. We've seen God do some good things here. I've been, you know, when we come to this meeting in a couple weeks, we're going to talk about what has happened the last 6 months. What's happened even the last year. God has done some good things here. Amen? But the enemy's not happy when that happens, right? If we didn't have any attacks, we probably wouldn't be doing anything right here. So be encouraged today. It's because we're doing some things right. The enemy's trying to attack us. Amen? And he's trying to attack what? Our praise and our worship. That's why I only see only a couple up here, right? Satan was part of the praise and worship in the Old Testament. How many know that? He was the chief one, right? When he attacks, he tries to attack those in ministry that bring up the praise and worship. Don't let your praise die. If there's only 5 of us here or 50 of us here, you should praise the Lord the same way today, church. Amen? When you come on Sunday morning, when you come on Wednesday, don't matter how many are here, you're here to praise God. God will take care of the open spots here. Amen? If we'll be faithful and not give up.